L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. From Khalil Gibran. Welcome to Grimly. Wouldn't it be funny if it wasn't recording?
After you did it.
No,
it
is. After I push it.
Never again are you allowed to hit the record button.
God, I would literally just off myself.
Be Mothman all over again. Just tears. Just tears.
Yeah, I forgot.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Good on this glorious July. Last day of July.
It is. I feel like July flew by.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a weird place to be in Washington State because it feels like we're just getting to summer, and yet it is also almost over.
You're like, oh, it's done now.
It's spinning.
This is Grimly, by the way. Hi.
Welcome to Grimly.
I am Missy.
And I'm May.
And
I have a story for you. I
was gonna ask you what the story was, but then I was like, oh, we should probably at least be like, hi.
Welcome to Grimly.
Yeah.
The story is that yesterday the cops came to my home yesterday morning, and it was because of my cats, Stella, specifically.
What?
So we use Simply Safe. Shout out Simply Safe.
Promo code Grimly.
And there's like a key fob.
Yeah.
And the key fob, apparently, I didn't realize this, has a panic button on the bottom of it. And Stella puked on the key fob that night. The night before last night, she puked all over it. So I woke up in the morning. It's, if you have cats, I don't know. I know people are gonna be like, oh, there's something wrong with your cats. And probably, but we've been to the vet a dozen times.
Stella's also what, 14?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's, I play a little game of find the cat puke every morning. And she doesn't puke every morning, but most mornings I'm like, oh, there it is. Oh, there's just a little bit this time. Oh, this is a considerable amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's puked on the key fob, and I kind of rinsed it off quickly and then dried it and then moved on with my life and cleaned up the puke, and I was then working. And so like 9:30 in the morning, our alarm starts going off violently, and Dave jumps out of bed, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I'm like a little concerned, but it's broad daylight, right? We figure out that it is because of the wet key fob. And oh, so we turn it off, and then, but it keeps repeatedly turning itself back on every like 8 minutes or so for most of the day after that. But before I figure out how to disable it, the cops show up.
My God.
The cops showed up. It was probably about 6 or 7 minutes after that first alarm, which is comforting to know that I only have to, first of all, that it does work.
Yeah.
Because I was like kind of suspicious that like Simply Safe wasn't, that there was not an actual connection to the police department.
Right. It's always like that anxiety of like, is this actually real?
Well, it turns out it is real. And the guy shows up at the front door, and my husband answers, and I'm working, and he's like, and it was my phone, or like one, my panic button that called him. So Dave answers the phone, and he's like, everything's fine. And he was like, no,
I need your wife.
Where's your wife? And so they made me come to the front door to say that no, there was no intruder. No, my husband was not attacking me. And then I was like, sir, you are here because like my cat puked on the key fob and it set the alarm off. And he started laughing, and then he walked away.
Did you like low key in that moment just be like, oh yeah, get Dave out of here?
Take him away.
You're like, oh yeah, he's fucking with me. I need him to leave right now.
No, I was just truly embarrassed. I was so embarrassed.
That's really funny.
And then it kept going off the rest of the day for like hours, and which was annoying in and of itself. And then they called me, Simply Safe, and was like, because it's the panic alarm, we have to have verbal confirmation that you're okay every time it goes off. And I was like, I don't know how to make it stop because I can't just like beat the thing to death.
Right. I mean, maybe you could.
I couldn't pop it open. Like, it was a whole mess. And she's like, what we can do is disable the response for the next 12 hours so that we won't send the cops next time it goes off.
Right.
So they did that, and then I stuck the damn thing in some rice.
I was gonna say, did you put in rice?
I did. And so we have had no problems since about like 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, but
oh my god.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I don't know. I'm pleased the way it worked out, but it was annoying.
That almost sounds like it could have been like a weird coincidence of like, you know, circumstances that happens and like something did happen and
you're lucky that
yeah,
the police are now
or
there.
Or you're not lucky that something, or like the police didn't show up, you know? Like,
that's true.
It's, that's weird.
Anyway, I'm pleased. I gotta say, I gotta give it to Simply Safe. Thank you. And now I know if I really do ever need something, I could push two or three panic.
Yeah, yeah. When I housed that for you, I think put it off at least once, the panic. The alarm. Because I opened the door without like turning it off because it's just like something I don't think about.
I think when they explained that like those alarms, they will not send a response unless you ask for it.
It's
the panic. So there's one in like my closet and then there's one on each of those two fobs. It's like a red button on the bottom. So yeah. If you push that one, then they have to send
a person
a response if they don't hear from you. Yeah, kudos to Simply Safe.
Yeah, kudos to Simply Safe.
Naughty,
that's crazy.
Tisk tisk, Stella and her naughty tummy.
I mean, just the fact that she actively puked on that is...
It was all over the keys. It was a whole... It was just so disgusting.
Just rude. Just rude.
I know. Meanwhile, she's like sleeping. Like, you caused all this drama.
I'm fazed by the alarm. She's like, you know what? It's fine.
It was pretty funny.
She's like, I actually wanted to see if it worked too, just in case it decides to murder you someday.
Yes.
And you hit your panic alarm.
I know how much time I have. Right, like,
I'm really just clocking. I'm clocking the neighborhood. I'm just, you know, like do a little surveillance for cat robbery.
So funny.
That's pretty funny. Oh, wait. I have a book recommendation.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And a podcast recommendation.
Oh. Sell it.
Yeah, it's just two things I came across this week. So the podcast is called Unbiased.
Okay.
It's this woman that, it's like a podcast that just does the news, but she doesn't do opinions, like,
oh, cool.
Sound bites. She just, like, literally just gives you straight up news. Like, kind of boring, but that's kind of how you want your news,
kind
right?
Kind of hard to find.
Yeah, and she has been kind of critical of, like, both sides of the aisle and the states, and so like I don't know. It's a very solid little podcast. I don't know much about her, so hopefully she's unproblematic, but yeah, Unbiased is what it's called.
Cool.
And then the book, it's called When the Stars Go Dark.
Okay.
I started reading it like a week ago and I don't want to finish it because it's really
good.
I don't want it to be over.
What kind of book is it?
It's a fiction.
Okay.
It's about a like badass female detective. She's trying to find a missing girl in a town called Mendocino, California.
Yeah.
That's like next to Petaluma, Napa, all that stuff. But there's this like little historical element in there because it's like this girl, I think it's a fictional story, goes missing at the same time that Polly Klass goes missing, which is like a really famous like Petaluma case.
Yeah.
And so it's just like kind of talks about like, you know, the difference between news coverage when it comes to girls who are quote-unquote runaways and, you know, like a girl that was kidnapped, actually.
Right.
So it's a really interesting story. It's really well written. I haven't finished it yet. So hopefully the ending's good.
Awesome.
But yeah, those are my two little recommendations.
Fantastic.
Okay. So, Meg, what are we talking about today?
What are we talking about today? I don't know.
You don't know. You never do. I gave you a little bit of a hint. Momentarily.
Yeah, but I have not a clue.
Okay. So today, have you ever watched the show Wife Swap?
Years ago, yes. Like when it was still, like novel. Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to give a synopsis of what you remember of it?
It's a bunch of trash families, typically. It is a TLC?
No, it was on ABC.
ABC, okay. Where it's two families and they agree to, it's usually like set up in the sense that like two families who couldn't be more polar opposite will agree to swap moms or wives for like a week.
2 weeks.
Oh my God. The horror of being in someone else's home, living as their mother and or wife.
For two weeks
sounds like a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah.
Anyway, and, you know, chaos ensues and people learn lessons and then they go back home and are grateful to be back home.
Yeah, that's a pretty good little breakdown, yeah. Just off the bat, right? Throw that at you.
I haven't seen it for like 20 years.
Though. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'll wrote down what that wrote. So Wife Swap is an American reality TV show that was a spinoff from the UK show of the same name.
Mm.
It aired between 2004 and 2010. The concept, yeah, it's not very long. There was another one called Trading Spouses.
Oh, okay.
That was on Fox.
Similar, okay.
It's like the exact same thing.
Premise.
Yeah, so the concept that the two families who had very different lifestyles, class, or morals would swap wives for 2 weeks. The first week, the wives had to abide by the household rules set by the
actual mother, wife, whatever.
And the second week, the new quote-unquote wife would get to change up the rules and run the house her way. So that's kind of the big difference, the big divide.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So then the two sets of parents would sit down and basically tell each other why they suck at parenting.
Yeah. Afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're trash because of this, you're trash because of this, you know, how it goes. This was, like, peak reality TV, I think. Because this wasn't when, like, people got canceled on reality TV.
That's true. No, totally.
Because, like, you know, you weren't trying to, like, brand yourself or, like, have, like, a social media following after.
Turn it into a career.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a drop in the bucket of your 2 weeks of your life.
Yeah, whatever. This is, like, producers who were, like, trying to fuck people up.
Oh, I think. They still try to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, like, it's just...
Now we fucked it.
It feels way more scripted now,
mm-hmm,
a little bit,
sure.
I think. However, there is a wife swap episode that now, if you rewatch it, has some pretty dark undertones.
Oh, God, okay.
Because of what happened to one of the families in 2017.
Oh, Jesus. All right, I don't know anything about this.
So this week we are covering the Stockdale family murders, a.k.a. the wife swap murder.
I don't even know about this at all.
Really?
Mm-mm.
This was suggested by my friend Lynn, who listens to the podcast.
Shout out, Lynn.
It is not going to be an easy story to listen to.
All right.
I think this is, like, an interesting case study, almost, of, like, how you raise children. You'll see in a little bit. So, just, like, a little bit of trigger warnings. Obviously, this is going to be a murder case. If you know, that's not your drive... We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of religious stuff that happens in this. And if maybe you were triggered as a child or, like, had some, like, trauma as a child of, like, growing up in a religious household that maybe was not the best for you, then it also might be a little triggering.
All right.
So just be aware. Stay safe. And if you don't like it, blame my friend Lynn. Okay, so... I'm going to give you a little background on the family. So the Stockdale family is a family of six. The mom was named Catherine, dad was named Tim, and they had four boys. Calvin, Charles, Jacob, and James. And their ages are 11 to 19.
Okay.
So like all like teenagers, essentially. Uh-huh. The family itself was based out of Stark County, Ohio. And it's in a pretty rural area, and they lived on a farm. This is where Catherine homeschooled the four boys.
Got it.
Tim and Catherine met in college at an agronomy club.
I never heard of that word.
Yeah, it's like some sort of soil science.
Oh.
Specifically if you're like doing crops. That's what it sounds like.
All right. I'm not coming from a family of farmers. That makes sense.
I had to look it up. I originally it was like androgyny club.
Androgyny club.
Which definitely did not fit the...
The vibe of these people.
So Tim and Catherine were also both deeply religious, and they were very committed to their Christian faith, natural health, and organic eating.
Oh, so this is going to hit a little bit close to home.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I told you.
The intersection of the Christian with the holistic hippie kind of vibes.
It might be like a trad wife thing now.
Yeah, totally. That's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is a picture of them if you want to look at it.
Oh, it is Like, they look like they could honestly be Amish from this photo. Or, like, Mormon. Are they Mormon?
No, they're Christian. They're Christian. Okay, so the boys were raised very conservatively. Not necessarily politically, but conservatively, meaning that the boys were not really allowed to access mainstream media.
Hmm.
So no television or video games. Tim and Catherine believed that this would create lazy and unproductive children.
Okay.
And this is all in the wife swap episode. This is not like me putting words in these people's mouths.
Okay.
So the boys were also not allowed to date. Even the older ones, who were 19 and 16 at this time. And then Catherine and Tim also forbid any sort of rap or hip-hop music.
Yeah.
The boys couldn't also use the internet without any sort of parental supervision or permission.
Got it.
And they weren't even allowed to have candy or like any sort of processed foods, period.
Whoa.
Or they were also weren't allowed to play sports.
Really?
Yeah, which I found kind of surprising.
I wonder if that's just because it was like spending time, because if you were enrolled in school sports, then you would be spending time with people that maybe
had some negative influences on you.
Yeah, didn't go to church or whatever.
Yeah, that's very, that's a good point. Yeah, so the boys had daily chores where they could earn tokens. They could save up these tokens and trade in for things like TV time or like a radio show, but it had to be pre-approved by Catherine or Tim.
Christ. Did you read that article? It's like, I think it was in New York Times about the ballerina farm girl.
No.
Speaking of trad life, that's all over the news.
I saw like something on it on TikTok. I didn't
really... Yeah, she was like a Juilliard ballerina who married the son of, what is it, JetBlue billionaire.
Okay.
And quit her ballerina career to like move to some Utah town farm, and she just raises their kids, and they have like she's a monstrous Instagram following.
Yeah,
where they have a very similar lifestyle.
Okay.
The kids don't watch TV. She cooks everything from scratch. It has like had the life revolved around the kids anyway. So this, I think, New York Times writer, yeah, came to like interview her, and her husband was like over her shoulder. They said they did not get like more than 30 minutes alone with her.
Wow.
During the entire interview, she was the feature.
It's like blink twice.
Kind of one of those
things. You're okay.
The whole world is talking about it now.
Yeah, I saw that on TikTok. I didn't know what it was. I was just like, oh, this is like a trad wife thing that you just like swipe away.
She's like the trad wife.
The trad wife. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similar life.
Yeah, so very, very similar. And like, you know, there's nothing, I think, inherently wrong with wanting to be like a little more like homeopathic type of lifestyle, like
or traditional,
traditional
roles,
yeah, gender roles. It's also, it's like there's like this judgment that they seem to have on people who don't do the same thing that always is like really problematic for me.
Yeah.
And then it's also once you start bringing in children.
Yeah, the severe like restrictive kind of environment like that where they're like sheltered to such a degree, I think is just only problematic. And I came from one that was moderately.
Yeah. This is a very intense version. I mean, but this was on a TV show, so they're going to find the most crazy version of
salacious.
This.
Salacious. Yeah, right, that's true. Yeah, oh, like version of that type of family.
Lifestyle. Totally.
That's true.
Okay. Catherine and Tim also believed that in order to have success in life, the boys needed to have a good work ethic and structure.
Sure.
And so they put these strict rules in place for like all the, you know, the media stuff, the not eating processed foods, not eating candy. They also, like, the boys had to sit down for every meal and finish their plate.
Okay.
And they weren't allowed to snack between meals.
Oh, okay. It's just like, are you controlling every inch of their lives at this point, which is... probably not going to end well.
So they believed doing this was going to like make these
ideal
men, essentially. Okay. Yeah. They also believed that only having wholesome activities and farm work would keep their boys pure.
Okay.
Which is something you don't really talk about when it comes to like boys, right? It's always like the girls keep saying pure, but like Catherine and Tim were big on the you have to say pure too. And they really just want to keep out all the negative influences of modern society, like just period. They didn't have like obviously like a TV in the house and radio and internet.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like a thing they used, right?
Right.
So like I said, the family shares every meal together. The boys have to finish their plates and are not allowed snacks. They're also charged 25 cents
if they are not downstairs every morning when breakfast is served.
Okay.
And
very strict.
Very strict. And it sounds like they had to get up at 7:30 a.m. and be downstairs for breakfast in 4 minutes.
Wow, okay.
It's almost like military type of stuff. So the boys did have one fun-ish outlet, which was the Stockdale Family Band.
Okay.
Where they played bluegrass music with their dad, Tim. He played guitar. Calvin played the banjo, which I've always kind of wanted to learn how to play.
Okay, you can.
I feel like it could be fun.
You could do that.
Charles played the mandolin. Jacob played the fiddle, which also something I think would be fun to learn how to play.
Sounds like a cute little band. I like bluegrass.
Yeah, and James played a upright bass.
Okay.
Which is a cello.
Okay.
But you're not using this the stick thing. Oh, you're just
with your fingers.
Yeah, you're just using your fingers.
Okay.
There's probably a difference, but I was like looking at in pictures. I'm like, that's a cello.
All right.
Let's Same way like a fiddle is a violin, you know, right?
I do not know.
I don't know either.
Like, I'm certain that the fiddle and the violin are different, but...
I don't think they are.
I have no clue.
I have no idea. Someone out there knows, and they will let us know. I believe in you. Oh. Okay, so Catherine was not part of the band itself, but she was the band manager.
Oh, okay. So they had, like, gigs and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice.
And the band philosophy was that the family that plays together stays together.
Okay, sure.
And the Stockdale Family Band was successful. They traveled all over the country. They won competitions.
Wow.
They also released a few albums.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so they were, like, legit.
Cute.
For sure. And, yeah, bluegrass music is fun.
Yes.
I don't know, maybe... this type of bluegrass music maybe is not our thing, because I feel like there's probably some gospel influences in this bluegrass music specifically.
Sure.
Now we're going to get to the wife swap episode.
All right.
That they're in. The Stockdales are obviously a very super conservative family, and they were obviously going to have Catherine swap with a very different wife and mother, and that is a woman named Lori Tonovic. The Tonovics basically had a philosophy of be who you want to be, and we will support you. There was no structure, no rules. Like, the kids, they didn't have to clean. They didn't have to do chores. They didn't have, like, a bedtime. They didn't have to, like, wake up a certain time. They're teenagers.
Yep. Like, this is exactly that. Like, they find the two most polar opposite groups.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Tonovic kids were named Paul, who was trying to be a rapper.
Oh, really? Okay.
I watched the episode. It's very different now because it's obviously edited very differently. I think they changed a lot of it.
Really? After the fact?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But he goes by T-Vic.
Okay.
That's his rapping name.
Eh.
And it was bad.
Where are they from?
They're from Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's a white boy.
Mm.
It's, you know, Eminem exists, Vanilla Ice, whoever. But, like, it's just like
those white Detroit rappers.
Right. Exactly. And they also had a daughter named Megan.
All right.
They were like 20 and 17, so pretty old. They were both living in the house with their partners.
Oh, okay.
So Paul's girlfriend, they were staying in the same bed together in the same room.
Uh-huh.
Megan had a boyfriend named Hector, and he was staying downstairs in the basement.
Okay. Listen, I do think that your kids should have chores and should pull their own weight. 1,000%.
Like,
there's no way I'm having a child and it's not. I'm doing everything for it. However... I think there's something really nice about adult children living with their parents. Like, that shows that there is some type of security and some kind of bond there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Assuming it's a safe environment. Like, I don't think we do enough of that in American culture.
No, I don't think so either. And, like, so all of the kids in this house, they were all at least 17.
Mm-hmm.
None of them had jobs. And so anytime they needed something, they would just ask Lori for money.
I don't like that very much.
Yeah. It really is. It's,
there's a balance.
It is the polar opposite. I think the idea of the show is, like, you take these two families who are very different and they see the good in both of these.
They teach each other a little.
And they're like, okay, maybe I can take this lesson here and, like, implement it into my life. Right. That's the ideal scenario.
Right.
But this is reality TV. In the early 2000s.
I mean, it's some drama.
It's drama.
Yeah, we need chaos.
Yeah, I got a little chaos. A little chaos soup. Lori gets to Stockdale. To the Stockdale house.
Oh, so she goes to the farm. Okay.
Yeah, so she goes to the farm. She, like, it's funny, in the episode, she, like, closes the door. She's like, this is my worst nightmare.
Oh, no.
And at the beginning, every wife is given a manual of how to run the house. And her manual is pretty deep.
So
pretty
does thick. The wife write the manual for the new wife?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
It probably with the help of producers or whoever is on the show, because that's like a premise for every episode, right? And a lot of the stuff I said earlier, like the rules and stuff, is in that manual.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And there's also a pre-approved menu.
So she's supposed to enforce the rules.
Yes. It's like you have to abide by my rules, sure. Essentially. It's kind of what it is. Like, this is my house. These are my rules for the first week. Yeah. So there's a pre-approved menu.
Okay.
For the week.
Oh.
And
How organized.
I wrote down some things. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to ask.
Because they grow most of their own vegetables. They process all their own meat.
Wow. They got time on their hands.
They got four boys to do chores all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a true ass farm.
That's cool.
Yeah. So the menu includes things like chicken gizzards and hearts.
Okay. It's good for you. I don't want to eat it, but actually, you know what? Fried chicken hearts are not bad. Gizzards, I could do it.
What is a gizzard?
It's like the neck.
The esophagus?
Yeah, it's like a neck, awful meat. It's like something from here.
It is awful meat.
It's either that or it is like something that happens in the stomach. I can't remember. I know what they look like, but I don't actually think I know what part of the animal it comes from.
See, I'm imagining like an appendix. Do chickens have appendixes?
Don't know.
Appendi?
Don't know. I'm going to Google it real quick. Gizzard. Keep going.
Anyways, okay. This is definitely up your alley. Sardines on buttered toast is an item, I think, for like one of the breakfasts.
Okay, it is a muscular organ in the digestive tract of some animals, so not all of them have it.
Okay.
Part of the stomach that grinds food. Okay, that's kind of what it sounds like.
It's like a little meat grinder.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Because they eat little, you know, pebbles and like all kinds of weird stuff, little chickens too.
Are the pebbles part of the gizzard? Do they
I don't think so.
Does it become like a tooth of
it's
the gizzard?
It's a function. It might be like a function ultimately. Like,
I should ask my mom. My mom knows a lot about chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you never had a gizzard though?
Fuck no.
Gross.
Yeah. Just the name gizzard.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's not... giving no. Delicious.
Mm-mm.
You know?
No.
Like, there are some things that, like, have, like, a name, and you're like, I never knew that was what that was. Like, foie gras.
Uh-huh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You know? That's liver, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Duck liver.
If you were going to tell me I'm eating duck liver, I'd be like, no, thank you. Foie gras sounds fancy.
Oh, okay. You know? You'll do it. I'm not a fan of the liver in any form.
Yeah, it's not for me either.
Yeah, but since my family's from the South, we didn't do it in our home, but like visiting family back home, like my Mimo would be making all different
types of
all manner
organs.
Mm-hmm. And when you buy, actually now less frequently, but used to be able to buy like the whole chicken, and there's like a bag of stuff that you pull out of the inside. Oof. And inside the bag is like the awful meat, like the...
Oh, that's not, like, that's what it's called? It's called awful?
O-F-F-A-L.
It's like I thought you were just saying it's awful meat.
It is not stuff that most people want to eat.
Like, A-W-F-U-L.
No, O-F-F-A-L is, like, the type of, yeah, like, the
organs. Like, the organ meat.
The organ meat.
Mm-hmm. Probably stuff you probably feed your dogs now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, carry on. Oh, we got sardines on toast. We've
sardines
got gizzards
and
hearts.
Some sauerkraut. And also notes that the boys have to get all A's on their homework. And if they don't get all A's, they don't get to, like, move on to new material.
Okay. All right. That's, you know.
I mean, but, like, eventually you have to move forward, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure to put on.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of their homeschool day every day, they also have to have a debate lesson at 4 p.m. It almost feels like they're trying to, like, raise, like, some Christian conservative politicians.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Yeah, maybe deep down that's a...
Maybe, yeah.
I hope.
And then so after their debate lesson, they had to practice and rehearse for the band or fulfill any obligations the band had that day. So sometimes they had like a gig that was in their contract that was written by their mother, Catherine.
Okay.
So all of these rules, there's the number one rule that Catherine emphasizes is that the boys have to obey their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the quote from it. It says, teaching the boys respect is vital in this modern world where so many children disrespect adults. We don't tolerate any of the boys hurting each other physically or verbally, and insist that if they make a mess, they clean it up.
Oh, okay. I'm so curious about, like, how you enforce that. Like, are...
Kids are kids. Like,
I know. But I'm like, how do you end up in an environment where you have such a strict home and your children say do, for example, respect their parents,
mm-hmm.
don't fight with each other, don't talk back. How have you gotten there? Are you hitting them?
Right, yeah. Like,
or, I don't know. I'm always just interested to know, how do you get there?
It just seems like an indoctrination. I don't think that's the only
way to it, but it does seem like
yeah,
a pretty common way.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, because, like, a five-year-old isn't going to get all the rules,
mm-mm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you're right. Like, how do you make that happen?
Yeah, are you spanking? Are you...
I'm sure they were spanking them.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, spanking is a whole other, like, topic mm-hmm. on, like, that isn't in this, but, like, it is a big part of probably this, too. Like I said, like, it's just, like, I don't know. It feels like militarization... memorization, you have to do this way. You have to respect us. It's very intense. So the first week of the show, Lori has to make sure that Catherine and Tim's rules are being followed. So that means that everyone's up by 7:30 in the morning for breakfast. Then the boys do their morning chores, go to school, do their afternoon farm chores, have dinner, fulfill their upbeat obligations, then go to bed. That's like their day, essentially. Sounds like a very long, hard day. So there are a few times during the first week that Lori is just, like, visibly upset because she's like, these kids have no freedom.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, they don't get to play. Like, they just don't, like, get to go sit in their rooms and, like, do whatever they want.
Yeah,
like,
decompress or whatever.
Decompress, do whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a few times in the episode where she's, like, sitting there and talking to the boy. She's like, if you could do whatever you want, what would you do? And they just, like, don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And she's just, like, really upset by sure. it. She's just like, these kids are just, like, robots. Yeah. She's like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
So that's when we get to the second week. The second week, Lori tries to instill some fun into the house. She brings in video games. She gets cable TV.
Wow.
And she's also like, you're not going to do any chores this week. She's like, farm chores are being done by your dad, is what she says. Dad's pissed.
Oh, certainly.
Like, every, like, rule she tries to change, she's like, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. She's like, why the fuck are you here?
Mm-hmm. Like, why would you sign up for this? So bizarre.
So, it seems like they signed up for this show specifically to promote the band.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's smart.
Yeah, I mean, Catherine's being a momager. Like, she's, like, making shit happen.
You can give it a week. You can give it a freaking week.
Right. Yeah, it's just, it's so weird.
But if he doesn't respect the process anyway, then of yeah. course he's going to be like, no, this is stupid.
He's like, we're not doing this. So she also wants the two older boys to just, like, go talk to girls.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Go on some sort of date.
All right. Now I feel like I'm concerned because she's pushing it.
Like, she is pushing it.
Pushing it.
It's, like, such a point of contention in this episode because, like, these two boys, Charles and Calvin, they're 17 and 19. I don't even think they've talked to a girl besides their mom.
Wait, they're homeschooled, right?
They're homeschooled.
Oh, Christ.
They're still homeschooled. They're still living at
home.
They
must at church.
Probably at church or something, but, like, not in, like, a social setting, right? Like, that's the whole thing.
Sure. Okay.
And, like...
Kids find a way.
Yeah, the kids are just, like... But they're so freaked out by all of these rule changes. There's a point, like... where Lori's sitting outside with, I think it's Charles, and they're talking about the date thing. He's like, I don't want to do it. He's like, you have to respect my parents' boundaries. She's like, they don't want us to do it. We're not going to do it. He's like crying.
Yeah.
He's like, we can't do this. And she's just like, she's like, you don't have to do anything. Because, like, it sounds like Catherine kind of indoctrinated this thing into the boys of, like, and him. Like, I'm not going to just say it's just Catherine. But, like, if you hang out with girls, if you spend time with girls, eventually it always ends up in teen pregnancy. Like,
okay.
Like, something bad's gonna happen, essentially, is, like, kind of what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they're just, like, really shell-shocked, and they're like, we don't want to do this.
Yeah, they're scared.
Yeah, and there's, like, a point where also the kids are playing video games, and, like, Jacob, the little boy, he has a breakdown, and he's crying. He's like, I think, like, I'm gonna burn in hell because we're playing video games.
Yeah, they feel very guilty.
They're like...
There's a lot of, like, guilt. Like, the use of guilt... It is heavy yeah. in this sort of environment.
It's very heavy, yeah. She does eventually get the boys to go on that date.
Okay.
It's like a very mild, they like shake hands with two girls. They all sit at a table together. It's obviously being videoed. So it's not like they're, you know.
Oh, they're going to be good boys.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be good boys. And like, you know, they get done with it. They're like, that was really fun. Like, we'd like to do it again sometime.
Just like hang out with people our own age.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably. And Tim is like, yeah, we'll talk about it, which is obviously probably not going to happen. But it's like, eventually you want your kids to get married, right?
Yeah, I don't know how you imagine that they're going to suddenly meet someone.
Right? It's like an arrangement?
I don't know. How else you'd do it.
Totally. I don't know either. So, on the other end, Catherine is at Lori's house. And it's like a party house, dude. I didn't think I said that earlier. Like Catherine just, like, has, like, parties there with, like, her son's, like, rapping in the backyard. And everyone's, like, drinking and partying.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Catherine, shell-shocked from how
completely.
Much freedom these kids have. She's not okay with the kids' partners being in the house,
they
obviously.
They are going to hate her.
Oh, they do.
Oh, no. Sad.
So, after the first week, she, like, abides by the rules. She makes Hector, which is the daughter's boyfriend, he's sleeping downstairs in the basement. She makes Paul, their son, go sleep downstairs with him.
Okay.
They're like, you're not going to stay upstairs with your girlfriend in the bedroom.
Got it. Okay.
She also makes the family start doing chores around the house and, mm-hmm. like, cleaning.
They should do that.
Which is a positive thing. And she's having them do chores and they're, like, earning cash. And she also takes them out to, like, a farm one day and they, like, do some farm chores and they earn cash that way. She's like, you guys need to get a fucking job.
You do need to get a job, yeah.
Which is totally fair. Like, I feel like anyone watching this episode being like, yes, that makes sense.
There's zero reason why you shouldn't have a job.
Like, just a part-time job. Anything. Like,
yeah. An adult needs to have a job.
Yeah.
You're in school. That's your job. But
yeah, exactly. Do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, 2 weeks end. Catherine and Lori have a face-to-face, and they're basically just, like, yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And, like, Catherine's basically like, your kids have too much freedom. You're a bad mom. And Lori's like, your kids are fucking robots who have no freedom. She's like, what's wrong with you? Like, why do you think your kids are so bad?
Yeah.
That they're going to do, like, all the bad things. It's just, mm-hmm. like, and which is a very valid point.
Because,
like, if you just constantly tell your kids, like, you need to have structure or else you're just going to be, like, a bad person. It's fucking weird.
Do you not love them?
Right.
Despite.
Yeah.
And, like, anything.
But there's just no,
it's not, yeah. It doesn't feel, like, unconditional.
It's very, like, Duggar.
Yeah.
Like, the keep sweet and obey.
Oh, yeah.
Type of stuff where, like, you have to be this type of way. Otherwise, you're not worthy of our love. It's very weird.
Actions. Yeah.
It's very weird.
Dictate how like, worthy.
Yeah, how worthy you are.
Valuable of, you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's, and, like, really, so Lori walks away from this whole experience. She's like, they do need to probably get a job and they need to start, like, doing more chores and cleaning. She's like, that makes sense to me. She's like, you're right about that. Catherine walks away. She's like, I'm not taking anything away from this experience. She, like, said that. She's like, yeah, I didn't learn.
We're doing just fine.
Yeah, we're doing just fine.
Yeah.
I think the one thing they did say was that there was a point where Lori had the boys write, like, a rap.
Okay.
It was really cheesy. And they, like, did, like, a little, like, rap battle with some other rappers. And Tim was like, oh, it was really cool for them to write their own music. Because they weren't even, like, writing their own music for the band.
Oh,
it was
so
all, like,
for them
written
to
by
be
Tim.
Able to, like, be creative in the
yeah.
music.
Yeah. So
when
Tim was
talented.
Like, yeah. Tim was like, I guess they can write their own music. He's like, that's probably a good idea. That was the only thing they took from it.
Okay.
So, episode airs. Eventually, the two older boys, Calvin and Charles, reach the age that Tim and Catherine allow them to move out. Calvin goes to college in Michigan, and Charles goes to med school in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't think I said this. This episode aired in 2008.
Okay.
So, just
right.
FYI.
And then it's 2017 is when the things
mm-hmm.
happened.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Jacob and James are still home, and they're playing in the family band. Calvin and Charles had left at this point. Because they had moved away, right? Jacob and James are still dealing with all the same rules that Catherine had Tim had put into place for them. Jacob is now the oldest in the home. He's in his early 20s. I think he's like 24. And while playing in the band, he also starts playing fiddle for another bluegrass group and is still winning awards. He's like winning regional contests for his fiddle playing. And he doesn't really have, like, his own life at this point.
Is he the youngest?
He's the second youngest.
Second youngest, okay.
Yeah. So the family also has a YouTube channel.
Okay.
Because why wouldn't they? Where they showcase their music and their lives. And in hindsight, you can start to see that Jacob is starting to look a little depressed.
Okay.
And maybe just seems like disheartened by everything.
Yeah.
Which leads us to June 15th, 2017. So Stark County Police get a 911 call at 4:36 p.m. from the Stockdale home, but the caller hangs up before stating their emergency. They don't say anything.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like a phone call. You can hear the dispatch saying like, hello, anyone there? And then they just hang up.
Okay.
The phone call is traced back to the Stockdale residence. And it is standard procedure to send a squad car over to a residence that's made a 911 call. Which, okay, like your alarm situation.
Yes.
Yeah. It is also said that neighbors heard multiple gunshots go off earlier in the afternoon the same day.
Okay.
It's like 1 to 3 is when they say they hear that.
Hmm.
So two sheriff deputies approach the home and see that the front door is open. They see that someone is laying motionless on the floor.
Jesus.
So the deputies yell out, try to get the person laying on the floor to respond. They do not. The deputies call for backup. And while in front of the Stockdale home, they hear another gunshot go off.
Wow.
So the deputies hear the gunshot. They have backup en route. And so they decide, they're like, okay, we need to go in.
Ooh, that's so scary.
It's so scary. Like, I know there's a lot of bad cops out there, but like these moments, you're like, fuck. Like,
there's no way you're not stressed.
Shaking.
Like your adrenaline is pumping, yeah, your heart's racing.
Like no that's... matter how many times you've done that, right?
I agree. There's no way you're ready.
You're a human being still.
Completely.
Yeah. They enter the home and realize the person lying on the ground is Catherine Stockdale.
Okay. She's in the front doorway.
In the front doorway. And they also notice the youngest son of the family, James, who was 21 years old at the time, is also laying on the ground. And they both are dead from a single gunshot wound.
Jesus.
So in one of the other rooms of the home, the deputies find Jacob, the second youngest, laying on the ground with a single gunshot wound to his head.
Mm.
He's still alive.
Damn, okay.
So Jacob is rushed to Metro Health Medical Center and treated for his injuries. While he is being treated back at the scene, it is determined that this is a murder-suicide attempt. They assume this because the responding officers, what they witnessed, and the neighbors' accounts of the gunshots. They're like, this tracks, essentially. It is also determined that the weapon used was a 20-gauge shotgun.
Wow, how do you
survive
that? How do you shoot yourself with a shotgun? This is a question
that
people have been asking.
Since Kurt Cobain?
Yes, it is, exactly.
I don't know. You can do it, I guess. So Tim, Charles, and Calvin, the rest of the family, they're all notified of what happened. And obviously they're shocked and they're gutted.
So there's two more brothers.
There's two more brothers.
And the father.
And the father.
Okay.
Tim, like, does some work where he, like, kind of leaves the farm every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sells, like, nutrients, grain to different farms around the area.
Okay.
So it's, like, kind of like a salesman. They're like, holy fuck, this just happened. And they shift their focus to Jacob and his treatment. Calvin also releases a statement stating, I quote, I speak for our family when I say we love him and forgive him.
Uh-huh.
The prayers and support for my family have been deeply appreciated, and we ask for continued prayers for Jacob's healing.
Hmm.
Which is like, right away. They're like,
I know forgiveness too is a big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe you do. Maybe, you know, your brother.
It's your brother. I mean, but like, it's your mom.
It's complicated. I mean, it's obviously complicated,
yeah.
But maybe you do. I mean,
yeah.
No, like, you can see through it and love him anyway.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, obviously they did, but it's gotta be really fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
So a GoFundMe was also started for the Stockdale family that raised over $30,000. And some of that did go towards paying for Jacob's medical care, which some people were kind of not okay with.
It's none of their business.
Yeah, it's a GoFundMe for the family. The family's going to spend how they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who am I to judge?
Yeah, I'm like, I doubt they have insurance.
Probably, yeah.
But like private insurance. It's not exactly cheap.
Yeah, this is America.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob would be hospitalized for over a year and underwent multiple surgeries to recover from his gunshot wound.
They're going to need more than $30,000 for those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Being hospitalized for a year, multiple surgeries, like...
It could be, you could literally be in the hospital for 3 days and it could be more than $30,000.
Yeah.
Literally 24 hours. It could be more than $30,000.
A shotgun blast to the face.
Wow.
Like, I have a picture of him after the, not after, but like after all
not
of his.
Immediately after.
Yeah, after all of his surgeries and stuff. Here's a picture of him.
He looks great. Yeah. I mean, there's kind of, yeah, I mean, I don't think you would look at him immediately and know something was wrong, but that one side of his face and head looks a little different than the other. He looks great.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they were able to reconstruct him.
Yeah.
Like that.
Something like the ear's a little wonky, but.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Like, the fact that they were able to do that is impressive.
Completely.
Okay. So, this is where things are going to get complicated. This is all after he's released from the hospital. Just bear with me.
Okay.
I think it's important to kind of, like, understand. He never gives a reason why he did this. But, like, I think if you kind of see, like, the steps that happened after, it might shed some light, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So, April 26th, 2018. It's about a year later, because remember, he's in the hospital for a year. Jacob is mostly recovered physically, and he is finally indicted for the murder of his mother, Catherine, and his little brother, James. The Stark County Sheriff's Department puts out an arrest warrant, but before they can go and arrest him, Jacob turns himself in. Jacob has a pre-trial date set for October 9th, 2018, and his bail is set for $1 million. I don't know if that's because, like, the family band and, like, they're kind of, like, YouTube famous or, like, the GoFundMe or, like, just, like, there was a lot of media coverage around this. And so I think there was a really high bail just because of all those factors, I guess. It's, like, kind of a quote-unquote famous case at this point.
Okay.
And also because of the wife swap.
I never have a fucking clue how and why bail's set the way it is.
So me either. It's on a whim. The judge is like, let's just do it this way today.
Certainly has sometimes seemed like that at times. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably some factors that we don't know about. So during his pretrial, the October 9th date, his defense lawyer puts two motions in place at this pretrial. One being for Jacob's mental health state at the time of the murders, and the other one being if Jacob is now competent enough to stand trial because he now has a massive brain injury.
Yeah.
They also plead not guilty by reason of insanity. And his defense attorney also asks for Jacob to have a psychiatric evaluation to see if he can even go to trial.
That all seems reasonable to me.
Pleading insanity is really hard.
His defense is going to give it their best. I don't see any reason he wouldn't do all of those things in this case with a super limited info that I have. But I'm like, I see no problems.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just saying, like, the insanity defense is, like, not as easy as you think it is. I think because it's such, like, a popular thing in, like, TV shows and movies and stuff. Media. Like, but pleading insanity is really, really hard. So I'm kind of surprised they did that.
Okay.
So in 2019, so a couple months later, the first evaluation determines that Jacob is not suffering from any sort of mental illness and is fit to stand trial. His defense attorney disagrees with the findings and asks for a second opinion. The second opinion is evaluated and the doctor thinks that there is some cause for concern, I guess, and suggests that Jacob gets intense mental health treatment for at least a year, and then he could withstand trial.
Okay.
Which seems kind of fair. Like, let's get him some mental help, and then put him on trial. So, defense attorney is not happy with these findings, the second evaluation. He asks for a third evaluation, but that's denied by a judge. Because I guess it's really expensive to have this done. It's like $5,000. And that's taxpayer money.
Yeah.
The judge is like, no.
Yeah.
We're not doing a third one.
That's fair.
So the judge does agree with the second evaluation. And he determines that Jacob is not competent to stand trial currently.
Mm-hmm.
He orders that Jacob be admitted to the Heartland Behavioral Healthcare Hospital for treatment. So the idea that he goes there until he's competent enough to go to trial.
Okay.
So while at Heartland, this behavioral hospital, Jacob tries to escape twice.
All right.
The first time he, like, hides in the library between, like, some bookshelves and, like, waits for the library to close and then tries to sneak out.
Mm-hmm.
The second time he, like, just tries to, like, walk out with people who were leaving after a visitation hour.
Okay.
And, like, I don't... He doesn't do it a third time, but, like, I imagine the third time he's just wearing, like, glasses and a mustache and just tries to walk out.
I'm so curious to know more about this kid. Carry on.
Both attempts are unsuccessful. There's also a point where he, like, tells, like a nurse at the hospital. He's like, I look a lot like my cousin. He's like, I could probably pass for my cousin and get the hell out of here.
Okay, but what are you going to do? Where are you going?
Why would you say that to someone that works at the hospital?
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, oh, yeah, that's a really good idea. You should do that.
Right.
Like, this is what I mean, where it's like, there's just, like, all these weird
things.
There's
something missing here.
There's something missing, so.
Well, he has had a TBI, so.
Yeah, yeah. After 8 months at the hospital, a psychiatrist at the Heartland Hospital determines that Jacob is now ready to stand trial for the murder of his mother and brother.
God, I'm just, like, so many questions, but carry on.
What's the question?
I'm like, who, how, why, like, I just love, is there a documentary about this?
Not yet.
I just like to know, like, questions that can't be answered, like, at what point does a person become, like, how do you determine when they're ready to stand trial?
It's kind of the question of, like, do you ever just, like, be done with therapy?
Listen.
Same thing, right?
I had this conversation with my little sister, and I was like, if you if you have to keep going to therapy forever, is it working? Because I would like to believe that maybe you have phases where you don't go to therapy.
Right.
That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a whole thing with, like, just mental health in general. Like, is 8 months long enough to, like, be competent to stand trial?
What's the threshold of, like, I don't know. It is a complicated situation.
Yeah, like, we need a psychiatrist to ask. I don't think I know anybody that has a psychiatry degree. So, after this evaluation, Jacob has to go through what they call a sanity hearing. And this will determine if Jacob is charged, whether he will be spending his sentence at prison or in a mental health facility.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically like, kind of like, which way are we locking you up, essentially?
Yeah.
This hearing was set to be on March 30th, 2020.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Any guess? Yeah. So maybe what happens next?
Yeah, I don't think that happened as scheduled.
It does not. If you were, I don't know, living in Antarctica on an island with the Singali people that don't talk to outside people,
that's Brazil, right?
2020th. Yeah.
Brazil.
I'm not even know. I don't even know if I'm saying that name right. March 2020 is when COVID lockdown happened.
COVID.
Yeah.
Shout out COVID.
Shout out to our girl, C19. That was also when it was supposed to just be like 2 weeks. Like,
yeah.
Closing for 2 weeks. We'll come back. You know, stay tuned. But that did not happen, obviously. So, there are a few delays due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Sure.
Like, there's multiple. I'm not going to go through all of them. So, Jacob's sanity hearing now happens in September 2020, and it's via a video call.
Yeah, that makes sense. September.
Okay. So, yeah, so it was originally supposed to be in March, and then it gets delayed again and again and again.
6 months
I think,
so.
Like, three times, and then It goes to September. So, during the video call, Jacob just isn't responding to the judge or anyone during while they're like trying to talk to him, because he's at the Heartland Mental Hospital. There's people in the court and they're like trying to like communicate with him, and he just like isn't responding. And There's a point where the judge is like, Jacob, can you hear me? He doesn't respond. And then there's like an officer there with Jacob, and he's like, I think they're a bailiff, right? He's like, hey, bailiff, blah blah blah, can you hear me? And the bailiff's like, yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
And so the judge is like, okay, like, I don't really know how to proceed. Like, if he's not responding, we can't do anything. Jacob states later that he is uncomfortable using the technology.
Oh.
And that he just, like, doesn't understand how it works, which is, like, he doesn't want to do it.
Got it. Okay.
Which, like, that doesn't really work in, like, judicial systems. You can't just be like, I don't get it. right?
You know, but it was, like, kind of an unprecedented situation.
It was, yeah. I mean, like, I think we're so used to it now, especially, like, with, like, work and stuff.
Years later, yeah. But, like, at the time, especially if you didn't grow up. However, your family has a YouTube channel.
Thank you.
Did you look up the YouTube channel?
I looked up a little bit. I didn't watch them.
Was it just people filming them, like, playing?
No, no. It was, like...
They were doing interviews.
They were doing interviews.
Also, it was on TV.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, I mean, like, okay. it definitely seemed a little bit, like, bullshit.
Like, he's putting on a little bit.
Like, he's putting on a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is why I'm saying, like, this is kind of, like, why we need to talk about this stuff, because mm-hmm. it definitely paints a better picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, they do another sanity hearing. It is determined that Jacob is sane, and whatever sentencing he gets, he will be serving it in prison.
Okay.
Because, like I said, playing insanity is hard.
Yeah, okay.
It is also determined at the time that Jacob will be awaiting his trial, not at the Heartland Hospital, but at the Stark County Jail. So they're like...
They're done with you now.
They're done with you now. I think the Zoom call was kind of like, okay, kid, like, we're done playing games with you. Like...
Yeah, okay.
Go straight to jail. So
straight to jail.
Do not pass go. Jacob's family during this time pleaded with the judge to be lenient on Jacob when it came to sentencing for the murders. Once again, big forgiveness factors.
Listen, going on. Like, it's very different if you murder someone else's family member. If it is your family and your of course, like, his immediate family are not the only victims of something like this.
Totally.
But, like, I do think it goes a long way for his own family, the victims of this crime, to be like,
yeah,
for me, that would go a really long way if I was a judge.
I agree.
You're like, it's not like it's someone else's family.
Yeah.
Who are like, fuck this guy, send him to prison forever.
Yeah.
His own family and the victims of the crime.
Or like,
him.
Can you please, like, carries, be lenient?
That carries a lot of weight for me, personally.
It also makes me wonder, like, especially with the other brothers, they're like...
What did they know? What did they,
like,
feel?
You know, like, they kind of, like, also felt, like, the pressure and, like, mm-hmm. the boiling point. I mean, they did, like, they left, you know?
They're the experts in the situation.
Right, and, like, they had, like, a life outside of the house now. They, like, maybe have seen, like... That was kind of abnormal the way we grew up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, maybe that's, like, kind of why they're so lenient. And, like, I mean, Tim, the dad, is the dad. So, like, I just couldn't imagine your kid. Like, you're not going to not love your kid ever, right? That's, like, a whole thing with parents
know.
And stuff. I don't
I'm
know. We
interested
don't have kids.
To see what his dad says about it. His dad was in support.
It's just, like, unwavering support. Can we?
That would go a long way with me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, totally.
On the jury or the judge, that would mean a lot to me.
Yeah. So after the sanity hearing is determined that he is sane, he's spending his time in jail. Like, you're going to jail. You're not going to be staying in the behavioral health center. This is where you're going to be ending up. Jacob decides to change his plea to guilty.
Okay.
On both counts. He's like, I did it. Like, I killed them both.
Why? What do you do that?
He never says. He just says, like, yeah, I plead guilty now. It seems like they were really trying to, like, get him into, him and his lawyer were trying to get him into, like, a mental health facility.
Yeah.
And, like, trying to, like, really emphasize the mental health stuff and, like, the insanity defense. And, like, once he realized kind of the jig was up, it's like, okay, I plead guilty, I guess.
What is that going to do for you?
Like, how does that benefit? A lighter sentence.
Does it get you a lighter sentence?
Sometimes it does.
Okay.
I mean, there's plea deals, right? Okay. He never...
You can take a plea deal after the fact.
He never went to trial. I think you can take a plea deal whenever you can.
Hmm. Okay. I guess as long as it's on the table. Okay.
It's like...
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how that works, but I'm assuming...
Maybe it's case
until
by case.
There is a verdict in a trial, you can take a plea deal.
I think it depends maybe on the...
The crime?
Who's offering the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Because, like, I know there's, like, always deals going back and forth mm-hmm. when it comes to, like, these court cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah. So he's, like, he pleads guilty. He never gives a reason why. He did this to his mother.
There's no reason.
Or his little brother. Like, I mean, he's not even, like, I just snapped, you know? There's nothing. He never comments on it. The internet being the internet. And this wife swap episode, the YouTube channel,
Most of the internet does speculate that it is because of the intense and strict upbringing that, like, there was basically a pressure point. Jacob hit it for whatever reason, and he just snapped.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is probably what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
it could have been, like, just a minor thing, you know? Like, she's like, oh, you didn't do this chore. You don't get this token, you know? And he was just, like, done with it.
Why kill the little brother?
That's the thing that, like, really bugs me. It's like, he was probably just as far into this as you were.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it's just so sad.
It's, like, interesting that it's not everybody in the family. It's
yeah.
Like not a full family annihilator scenario. Right. It's not.
Well, I think
just mom or dad.
Like, they were the only two there. Tim was gone.
So, at the time that he lost it,
yeah.
If more people were home, it's likely he would have
done more.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Which is sad. Yeah, then maybe
he did have a snap.
Right, just like a moment where he just lost it.
It's really too bad he's not more open about his experience.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of, like, knowledge to be gained.
Even, like, Calvin and Charles, two older brothers, you know, just to, like, kind of be candid about it. Like, yes, this was, like, mm-hmm. a wholesome, quote-unquote, upbringing, but, like, we also see the problems here, and, like, we saw some pretty intense repercussions of it, you know?
Yeah, let's let this be, like, a learning lesson, dialogue. I don't know.
Maybe yeah, like, a dialogue. Their choice. A dialogue is a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the wife swap episode has been heavily edited. Like, Jacob's barely in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I don't think it's the original one.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, all the other brothers are in it. Like, Jacob isn't. And so I'm like, it's on Hulu if you want to go watch it.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's, like, the whole crying scene when, like, they were playing video games, that was Jacob. He got, like, really upset when he was playing video games. Like, that's not in the episode anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So, I mean, like, it kind of makes sense that he would edit all that stuff out, right? Jacob is sentenced to 30 years in prison. So, 15 years for his mother, 15 years for his brother.
It's pretty lenient.
Exactly.
American standards, actually.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a life sentence.
No.
He's eligible for parole in 2048. He'll be, like, 56.
Wow.
When he gets out, if
okay,
he gets parole.
I think that if he wants to get paroled, he probably has some work to do.
Yeah.
He should. If my suggestion to Jacob is, you should start talking about what happened and why it happened.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can get paroled and then live the rest of your life. Which is, you know, 30 years of your life, at least.
Right,
well,
yeah.
Well, maybe not 30. Yeah, maybe 25 years of your life out on the outside.
He's eligible for parole in 2048. So that's 30 years.
So, like, assuming he lives until he's 80.
Right, yeah. I mean, oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, he's got...
Yeah, he would definitely have, like, at least a couple more decades outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like...
Clearly that's what your family wants.
Clearly that's what your family wants.
Like, let's do some good here.
Right, like, also, they probably also want some answers, I would imagine. Even if they do forgive you.
You'd think so.
They would probably want to be, like, want to know, like, just what happened. Like I said, it's just, like, a really interesting... Because, like, it definitely seems like Catherine and Tim, like, have, like, the best intentions of raising, like, good, yeah, wholesome boys, quote-unquote. And it just went so far awry. You know, and I think that in, like, the wife swap episode really emphasized that. And even, like, with Lori's family, too. Like, they were just, like, polar opposite families. They definitely needed to, like, come together, mm-hmm. and find, like, a middle ground. Be like, okay, like, maybe you could do this a little bit better. And, like, the fact that Catherine was just like, no, we're fine.
Are is you a little suggesting bit interesting. That things might have been different if they had been more open to...
I don't know.
More receptive to that wipe swap episode?
I'm not saying... I'm not victim blaming.
No,
I'm not saying that. I just think if you were willing to sign up...
It might have changed. Yeah.
For something like that.
Effect.
You could have, like, learned to have a better benefit for your kids.
If you'd been open to it.
Like, learn to, like, maybe, yeah, maybe your kids do need a little bit more freedom. Maybe just even just let them go play a sport. You know, just do something outside of the family dynamic. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not saying it could have changed anything. Hindsight's 20/20. You never know, truly. Like I said, it's a really interesting case.
Sad.
It's very sad.
The family murders are just always so interesting. I don't know, like the Jennifer Pan story.
Oh yeah.
Like anytime, I'm endlessly fascinated. Family dynamics are fucking complicated.
They're very complicated. Even so just like the fact that the family is just like, we forgive them, we love them.
Yeah,
there's so many. It's a complicated thing. Like we just don't understand like what goes on in anyone's home. You know, and I try not to like pass judgment on people who are like how they raise their kids.
There is a level to it where it's like these are the closest people to you and the people that you know the best, and right. you still never know anybody.
It's a little scary in that sense.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, like, there's just so many things you don't just like don't know about anybody.
It's true. Like, these are the cases that show you that you do not fucking know.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. About fuck.
Yeah. You don't have no idea what's going on in the house next door.
Or fuck about shit. Whatever.
You shit don't about know. Fuck. Fuck about shit.
You don't know anything. Damn.
Yeah.
Alright, so Jacob, may he rest in prison.
R.I.P. risen.
Mm-hmm. Damn, it's just sad. It's just sad. That's it's very tragic sad. For his mother and his little brother.
Yeah, yeah. It's very sad.
And his father just probably wondering day in and day out, like, how, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Should we try to end with something on a positive note?
Do you have one? I don't got it.
I think the fact that Biden stepped down and we now have Kamala as a Democratic personally nominee.
I'm really kind of excited about it.
Like, I think that's a pretty positive note. That's the best
news that I've heard in a while.
Yeah, I think that's maybe something to celebrate.
I'm celebrating and I'm excited. I was like concerned. I am still concerned.
Yeah.
I think a thing happened once and I think
can
happen again. And if you don't think that the thing can happen again, you're crazy. Should consider it.
Yeah, you're crazy.
As a possibility. But it does sort of feel like, oh, you know, I just want a younger president. That's it.
Yeah.
I like bonus points if it's a woman.
Right.
But anybody under the age of 65 even.
Kamala's 59, so.
Great.
Perfect.
Thrilled. So yeah. Good luck to
Let's
her.
Let's all fall down the coconut tree. For Kamala.
Oh,
in November.
I'm here for it. Yeah,
register to vote, because your fucking shit depends on it.
It really matters.
Especially.
If you got a uterus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, or if you used to have one.
Yeah. Right. If you used to have one. If you
plan to have one,
if you support someone that has one,
oh, it's important too.
Mm-hmm. You know, like just vote like you have a uterus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody do that.
Yeah.
And if your uterus could vote for itself, do you know?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do what your uterus would do.
Yeah. Let your uterus vote for you.
WWUD. Thanks. Thanks.
Anyways, we'll end on that. Until next time,
stay grimly curious. Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
3DEFET. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.